communicators, Mickey, Dr. Charles Marshall, and Dr. Stephen Ward.
This sound was recorded on August the 6th, 1964, Megan Leslie Flynn.
Yes, I can hear.
I said that is all right.
Yes, I heard you.
If I come late, do you think I'm not coming? If I come early, you're surprised.
I know you will always be there when you can.
Very difficult to be calm and placid, isn't it, Rose?
Oh.
It isn't leaking pipes. It's sick dogs.
I know. Oh, just what happened on my...
Never mind.
Sitting night.
Never mind. It hasn't affected the conditions. It hasn't affected us. Oh. And I hope it's not going to affect you.
No, no.
Good. Now perhaps we can settle down to our session.
Any day now, I'm glad you're there. You are clear.
There and here are the same. No difference at all. Very, very close. Very near.
You are?
Very, very close. I'm sorry we were not able to do anything on Tuesday.
No, it's all right.
But we shall hope to make up for it tonight.
When you say very, very close, what do you mean?
Very close to your world, very close to you in this room, very close to your consciousness, in other words, very much en rapport.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Extremely close.
Oh, dear, dear. Oh, I wish I could touch you, Doctor. Oh, shall I put my hand out?
You may put your hand out with pleasure. Whether you will receive anything in the hand, I cannot say.
Now, how did you come as close as that? With the power?
Yes, because the power tonight is extremely good.
Oh, I see. Oh. Oh, goodness me. He was quite near. I've never had him so near.
Sounds like a politician's tagline.
Politician's tagline?
What do you mean by that?
Who is it that I've heard made a tagline or something of you've never had it so good?
Oh, yes, Macmillan. How wrong he was.
Well, I don't know. I suppose in some respects the man was right. Mm. I wouldn't know very much about politics, thank goodness. I'm thankful, John, for the best of times.
It's there to make all the trouble, mostly.
Hello, Rose.
Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Good. How are you?
Oh, Stephen, is it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, thank you.
So sorry about Tuesday, but just couldn't do it.
No, nothing could happen on Tuesday.
No, I don't know why. It's just one of those things. I really don't know sufficient about it yet to be able to understand why or why not.
Okay.
Everything seems to be pretty good tonight.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
In spite of your little...
Yeah, I was getting so hot and bothered.
Yes, I know you were. As a matter of fact, I wonder what was going on. You were racing around like a two-year-old.
You'd
been having some special healing I knew nothing about. I haven't seen you move so fast since I've known you.
All things due to you and the doctor, I
think. Oh, no, I don't think so.
The two doctors.
Well, I don't know about two, and there's quite a lot of other people, too.
Are
they? Well, actually, there's a whole band of them, and nobody really wants to take the credit. Everyone works together.
But why are they taking so much interest like that?
Well, because they're very fond of you, for one thing, and secondly, because Well, if one can keep fit and well, so well and so good. Much better than being sick and ill. I mean, the time will come when, of course, little or nothing can be done, and then you'll just quietly go to sleep and wake up over here. But in the meantime, we must look after you.
You've joined the band, have you?
Well, sort of, yes. I don't know whether I'm officially a member, but I'm sort of very much with it.
Yes.
And I do come and see you for myself, quite apart from the rest. And, I've been trying to help. I don't want to take the credit for other people's work. We all work together. In any case, in a sense, it's no one's credit. We're all sort of...
All of you are so modest over there.
Well,
you're becoming like the rest of them, and shortly you'll become...
Well, if you want, my dear girl, if you want to live happy with people, you've got to be more or less like them, haven't you?
I thought you were an individualist.
Of course, we're all individualists in the sense that we have our own personality, but I suppose it is that it doesn't take very long for one to realize what is right and what is wrong, what is good and not good. One who lives in a condition which is harmonious, and after all, harmony is so much more important than disharmony.
Yes.
I lived in a world of disharmony, and I'm jolly glad to be in one where it's harmonious.
You forget all about the other world.
I'm not forgetting exactly, but at the same time, I'm very engrossed in my new life, which is, after all, the important thing. The past is important, or was, and it still is, in a sense, that, I'm grateful for the experiences, good and bad, but actually, of course, I'm much more concerned with the present and the possible future, and why should I worry about the past too much? It's finished.
Quite right.
And yet, although one talks about the past as if it were finished, which in a sense it must be, it never finishes because the past, present and future are all one.
That's it.
There's no real sort of breaking off or demarcation line. It's all one. People don't seem to realize that it's all one life. They look upon it as something quite different. That the earth life is the beginning and the end. Or if they don't think that and they think that there is something after death, they never look upon this life as being part of yours or yours part of ours. It's a continuation, but under better circumstances and better conditions. With a more illuminated outlook and better prospects, thank God. Anyway, I hope to pass the tests eventually.
Tests?
Well, I suppose in the kind of way you could call them tests. I don't mean to say that you have to go before...
You're testing yourself, you mean?
Well, that's really it, but I don't mean that you have to go before a man in a big white, with a big white beard and, on the phone or something and sort of answer a lot of stupid questions. I don't mean that sort of passing the test, but... passing the test within yourself and recognizing things which gradually one's becoming aware of and making those things realities in yourself. It's a sort of gradual change that must come over one before one can really say, well, at least you're on the way to recovery or a way to real progress, you know.
That's exactly what I was responding to my friends the other day. Yesterday, you should have been there.
Oh, well, I wasn't. Anyone I should know or not know. And actually, I suppose one shouldn't say that one doesn't want to know anyone, but sometimes, you know, it's such a relief to get away from earth and earthly things.
Mm.
Although there are times when, of course, I do come back, and in my own small way, I try to have some influence for good. I hope, at least I know it's good. For my part, it's wishful. Well, you know, I mean, I wish people well, and I do what I can, but jolly hard graft, you know, very hard going. How is your rather garrulous old friend?
Who's that?
Oh, the old dear who comes to you occasionally and likes to help herself.
Oh, yes. There was another garrulous one, a man this time.
I don't know if he
got into my store cupboard.
What was he doing in your store?
You shouldn't be. He didn't get into it. I don't mean to say.
You mean
his hands got into it, all right?
Did he want anything?
What?
Did he want anything?
Oh yes.
Did you give it to him?
He just arrived from wherever he went for a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Tangier.
Oh yes.
And he had a good look at my cupboard, so I gave him a few things to take home.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. No one of those. You'll never learn, will you?
Well, I don't suppose I will. I'm too old now.
Well, actually, it's a good thought.
Yes, sometimes it's Not still done there.
I think it depends on the circumstances and the person concerned and what their situation is. To give to those who've got very little or in need is a good thing. But sometimes you get people who are like sort of magpies. They just pick up here, pick up there, and they hoard it, you know. They don't really need it, but they just pick, you know, pick here and pick there and disappear with it. If you went into their home, probably their store cupboard would shock you. Probably got a damn sight more of there than you've ever thought of having. Oh well, then let's talk about mundane things or mundane people. Let's talk about something intelligent.
I'd like you to sometimes to talk about mundane things.
Well, what should we talk about?
Oh, well, no, not now.
Should we talk about this house?
No.
No, all right. This is an odd mixture from floor to floor. An extraordinary house, in a way.
Tell me why.
Well, I suppose it is that I see it perhaps so differently to anyone else, or at least the vast majority of people would on your side, but it seems to me that everyone's on a different strata. And it doesn't mean to say that those on top are the best, or those at the bottom are the best, or the worst, but it's most peculiar, because in a sense, although you're all living on top of each other in a kind of way, not one of you are really similar. I suppose in a way you and the medium are very similar in temperament and outlook and character perhaps to some extent, but it strikes me as an odd assortment anyway.
Yes.
I like to call this Bassett's house.
Bassett's house.
Bassett's house.
Oh, yes.
You know,
all sorts.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about something else.
Yes, please.
Such as your nightmares.
Two nightmares.
Such as your nightmares.
Oh.
Your peculiar dreams.
I do have some.
Occasionally you do, but they're not psychic.
They're not psychic?
Well, no. From the point of view of coming over here, because you don't enter into any sort of depressing state over here or start rushing around to get on moving vehicles and travel at distances and that sort of thing. Not in that sense. Although you do come over here.
Have you seen me over there again?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Oh, yes.
Oh, why don't you tell me? What do I do?
Well, once or twice. With Marshall and one or two others, we've come to fetch you. And we've taken you around and we've shown you various places. And, of course, your very dear friend, Mr. Frederick Chopin,
yes.
Esquire, etc., etc., etc.
Yes.
He's been giving you your usual lessons. Although I don't suppose you've felt any real benefit from it from an earthly point of view, but he seems to think you're turning out to be a very good pupil. But, sounds all right to me, but I'm not such a good musician. I wouldn't really recognize whether it's that good or not. Anyway, he's hopeful.
Stephen, what do I have on? Do I have a robe or what?
Well, actually, you do, of course.
A robe?
Yes, but it's usually a sort of lemony green. At least that's one robe I've seen in a sort of soft green. I don't know whether you call it a lemony green, but
my favorite color.
And also a sort of violet shade of grey, which seems to be quite a nice combination for you, which I'm surprised you don't wear more.
Grey?
Yes, grey and violet. Grey and sort of lilac colour, you know, it's very pretty, goes with your hair. Although, of course, there again, let's face it, I mean, you're not old over here, and you're much younger looking, but still those colours suit you, because really, of course, it isn't only a matter of whether they suit you from the point of view of appearance, but also because they suit you from character and personality. The soft pastel shades are definitely yours. The soft shades of pink, for instance, or green, and pale mauves and blues.
Oh, those are all the colours I love.
Yes, well, they're the colours that certainly suit you, and they're the colours you seem to choose mentally without possibly even realising it over here. And, although this may sound crazy to some people, I wouldn't say this is a general thing, but on Earth, of course, when we like to wear things like necklaces and so on, well, although I suppose the more advanced souls, which I haven't yet met, may not go in for that sort of thing or don't have those sort of things, certainly a lot of women do seem to procure various articles of adornment. I don't mean to say that they overload themselves with jewellery or anything like that, because in a sense there is no such thing as jewellery here, but there is this sort of, I suppose it is people, when they first come over, women that is, they have this sort of feeling they're not dressed without earrings or a necklace or something, and it's such a habit that because they think those things and they still have those sort of desires for those things, they do have them. And I have noticed quite a lot of women do wear most attractive, indeed very attractive, articles of jewellery. And I suppose when you come to think about it, there's no reason why I shouldn't. It isn't necessarily a kind of vanity. It's true on earth people, women do wear lots of jewellery from a vanity point of view, but over here it's not considered that. If a person feels the need, for instance, for a certain article of jewellery or a certain something to decorate themselves with, and it gives them pleasure, and invariably, the vast majority of women particularly have got an artistic sort of sense, and that shows itself over here, and those things are beautiful.
What are they made of?
Well,
there's no heaviness in them.
No, there's no heaviness at all, and in a sense, they are made, but not of a substance, obviously, such as you have on Earth. I mean, they're not made of any of these substances which you'd associate with Earth, because this is not an earthly world. But what I am afraid I shall never make anyone realize, and I don't see how one ever can, is that although our world is a very real world, and a very solid world to us, at the same time, many aspects of it, or certain aspects of it, are purely mental. And therefore, if a person feels the necessity or the need for certain articles or certain things, those things are created within themselves, within their own sort of mind, and their desiring of these things produces them, but they only last for the time that a person considers them or thinks about them or desires them. And they are visible to other people because of the thought of the individual who's created, even subconsciously you might say, created the article of the thing.
So nothing lasts forever, does it?
Well, of course, that's a joy. In this moment, when I say nothing, when you say nothing lasts forever, that's not exactly true. But what I suppose one should say is, the thing lasts until it exhausts itself, and from the point of view of the individual. In other words, if you cease to want something, or cease to cherish something, or cease to desire something, then it no longer exists for you. In other words, it's a progressive state of being through which you're passing. When you see that certain aspects or certain things are no longer important, then therefore they cease to exist for you. But other things take their place. Mm-hmm. And these things are obviously of a higher nature, and something more worthwhile, something that probably is very necessary or very definitely useful, even in the development or the building of one's character or personality or one's individual spiritual growth. That is the joy and beauty of it. That in a sense, as you say, nothing is permanent, but as one loses the desire for certain things or certain things, other things come of more value, which serve the purpose for the time, and then you progress into a different stage of the evolution of being, where you have other things to think about, and those things are necessary. You see, you have everything that is necessary according to the stage of evolution that you've reached. That is the extraordinary thing about this life, that everything is real, everything is purposeful, while you feel it to be so, and while it is necessary to you. That's why I understand that there are varying degrees and conditions of life far removed even from where I am. I mean, I live in a world which I suppose in some senses is very like the earth, but there are other spheres and conditions of life which are so removed in every sense from anything I know that even if I could get a glimpse of them, I probably wouldn't even understand them. But then again, I wouldn't even be allowed to have a glimpse, or at least I wouldn't be able to have a glimpse, for the simple reason I haven't reached that stage where it would become visible to me. In other words, only things that are real, or have any effect upon you, or become part of your life, when you yourself have reached that particular stage where those things are naturally visible and naturally part of your life. Everything is natural law here.
Yes, but what I am curious about is, when one is on a certain sphere and you make friends in that sphere, you go on to the next one, where the people there must be quite all strangers to you.
No, not exactly. I know what you mean and what you're trying to convey,
yes.
But it's not quite as it seems, because as one progresses, although you may not enter into that next state of being, the people from that state of being will come down to you. In other words, by your aspiration, by your subtle change of outlook and being,
yes.
So you make it possible for certain people from other spheres of a higher nature to enter into your life or enter into your world, and you gradually know, become friends with various souls who, when you leave the present condition, will become very close friends indeed, because you've already helped to cement the friendship by your very change of outlook and thought, and these people have made it possible, and you've helped to make it possible, to enter into your life even before you reach there.
I suppose you enter into the next one in the same
way. Well, the same way that
the body, not the body, I mean, well, what is it, of course, not the physical body, I mean the astral body, for instance, or the etheric body.
Well, I think it is that the etheric body is the same in the sense, it's the same body, but it goes through subtle changes, which are in themselves so subtle, so slow, because time in a sense doesn't exist to us, but in any case, it is such a subtle change that you're not aware of the changes that have taken place. And gradually you evolve into this new vibration and you become conscious of new sights, new sounds, and new friends, new peoples and so on. But the same thing in a sense is happening to people on Earth. They are going through subtle changes, and not only physically, but they're also going through changes in a sort of mental and a spiritual sense. And particularly a person, for instance, who has some knowledge of this subject, they become, in advance, you might say, more conscious of this world, and because they've opened the door just a little way, it's easier and better, because we can reach them and we can impress them and inspire them, even though they may not be mediums themselves, but because they have the consciousness of these things, we are able to reach them and we're able to impress them to some extent, and generally do some work and help them. It's all very illuminating to me, because I'm only just beginning to feel my way, but I'm already conscious, in a sense that is, not only of my own existence where I am now, not only of the existence that I have recently left, but also becoming more conscious of the conditions of life or existence which lie ahead. It is almost as if I had three layers of consciousness, three sort of conditions of life which
yes.
are playing some part within me. All these factors are affecting me, all these factors are helping me to be a changed person. I can see myself now as, in a sense, in certain respects anyway, totally different to what I was perhaps some roughly a year or 18 months or so ago. I feel I know I am quite a different, in some respects, a different person. And of course I'm much happier, much more at ease, much more wealth, with a feeling of wealth,
yes.
comfort and assuredness. I don't feel any more like I used to feel, not even, for instance, when I first came here. Then I was in a very peculiar, unsettled mental state. But now all that's gone and I'm quite sort of quiescent and sort of, well, very happy.
Yes, well, thank God for that.
And you've helped. You've helped.
What?
You have helped.
Oh,
I say you have helped quite a bit.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, Stephen. Now I shall all. I told Frederick the other night I want Stephen to go up and up and up.
Yes, I know.
Did he tell you?
Well, yes, he did, but he's a very amusing character.
Oh, he's a rascal. Oh. What did he say to you? Or did he give you a lecture?
He just looked at me and he said, oh, well, of course you will, but don't forget I've got 100 years or more before you.
Oh, yes. He was a naughty boy when he was on the earth also, so you're not the only one.
Well, I must say, if he was that naughty, he's certainly become a very progressed person.
Yes.
Although, actually, I don't suppose he's any worse or any better than the average. I suppose being somewhat well known, a lot was said and written about him that other people wouldn't have been mentioned. Same with me, I was unfortunate, got myself into a set. Mm. Oh, well, we don't want to go
into
that.
Now, never mind about that.
And don't get into a tiz about things like you did tonight, because it's not it.
You're not so excitable now.
No, I don't
know. Oh, I'd like to hear you when you're speaking and you get excited.
Oh, do you?
You let yourself go like mad, stressing all the necessary words and so on.
Well, cheer up.
Yes, I will. I'll cheer up.
Nice to come and talk to you again.
Oh, it's lovely.
Anyway, I must go, but it's been nice coming, and all my blessings, and thanks very much for everything, and don't worry.
All right.
I'll do my best for you.
Thank you.
And we all will. Cheerio. God bless. Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.